Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. This past week, I was fortunate to work with a bunch of different teams and found myself talking about the same tool over and over. So in an effort to support you and continue the learning for them, we're going to explore this process tool this week. Often in leadership, we are charged with creating change, and we have to communicate change to those around us, or we are handed a situation and have to formulate a plan quickly. I believe that when we have a problem, it is only because we lack a process to handle it. So when we look to support those we serve with a necessary change, it is critical to employ tools that support us in communicating and illustrating what the change means to those it impacts, as well as demonstrates the steps necessary to get there. Before we discuss the tool, let's look at a change theory for a moment and the behaviors of those in organizations. There's a lot of science and research around change management, but the essence of change is ensuring that those who are being asked to make that change understand why they are changing, can see why the change is necessary, and have full comprehension of the consequences of not changing. So there are four major behaviors of people that are faced with change, and they are from positive to negative: navigators, bystanders, victims, and critics. In every organization, these people exist, and many of us flounder in and out of these same behaviors depending on the situation and the amount of energy we have to put towards what we need to do differently. The first behavior is that of those who are willing to navigate the change. These are the people who love change, and when faced with having to change their behaviors, they enjoy the challenge of trying to figure out the new idea and what they have to do differently. We sit next to navigators, and they're easy to identify in organizations because they're the people in an organization who are the first to throw their hands up. They're the ones who, when the leader doesn't even fully explain what has to be done differently, these zealots raise their hands and volunteer because they want to get moving and figure out the change as quick as possible for themselves. They usually make up about 10% of a staff. This usually was me. The second group of an organization is the bystanders to change. They're not good or bad people. They just kind of linger, study, wait, and look at the people in their group for direction. These are people who are best described as those that play it safe. They watch how the navigators take on the change, and they usually demonstrate great patience during the change process. Patience not for the change, but for the expectation towards changing. They are good when they apply the new techniques, but they can also be a hindrance to the change process because they sometimes are also waiting for the initiative to die, and they are the mass of the organization, which is usually about 60% of the team. They are watching the behaviors of the outliers in the organization to determine where they are going to put their energy. So, we have navigators who are open and willing to change, bystanders who are trying to figure it out, and then we have victims. Victims in the change process are the people who are well-grounding in the existing ways, processes, or culture. They see any change as a threat and take it very personally. They tend to actually become sullen and sometimes cry. They want to hang on at any cost to the status quo, and they will ignore the threats to themselves or the systems because they are more concerned with how the change impacts them personally than they are in the need to adjust. These are the people who are adjusting the chairs on the deck of the Titanic and ignoring the fact that the boat is sinking. They are crying because they can't believe their fate, and they tend to hold on to the past as if everything used to be perfect. They are hard to sway, and they can even have great impact on the bystanders because they create a sense of fear from their emotional response to the change. So, we have three responses to change: navigators, bystanders, victims, and they make up 90% of the organization, your classroom, the business, or your school. The fourth behavior is the one that can be the most damaging to the organization if not engaged properly. They are the critics. Their role in the change process is to lob grenades at anyone and everyone engaged in the process, the decision-making, or the support of the change. You know the type. They race the navigators to raise their hands and are always at the ready to tell you what's wrong with the change, the plan, or even you. It always is someone else's fault for the position that they are in, and their favorite behavior is to fix blame. They love to start sentences with this stem. This really isn't right because... So, there are four behaviors in the change process to be aware of. People who are looking to change, people who will wait and see what happens, people who can't believe this is happening, and people who are going to fight it. Sound familiar? Reflect for a second on which of the four behaviors you tend to be when a change comes your way. If you're really honest, you've done all four. Because I have. But what is the process to reduce the amount of criticism and anxiety created by change and win over the bystanders so that everyone wants to navigate the problem? Well, there are about 10,000 processes, but the process we are going to talk about today is called the Gap Analysis Tool or Step Diagram, and it's simple and elegant. Here's what you do. On a sheet of paper, you draw a box on the bottom left-hand corner, and you label it our current state. And then on the upper right-hand corner, you draw a box and label it our desired state. Whatever change you have to make, you put in the desired state box, and whatever the current status is, you put in the lower left. Now, the reason you do this is that the change process is important, and we regularly fail to demonstrate the current state and where we are going in a clear and simple visual. There are plenty of people who put together binders of plans and lots of different step diagrams and strategy position papers. However, you need to be simple. The area in between the two boxes is reserved for the steps necessary to get us from where we sit today to where we want to stand in the future. There can be anywhere between 2 steps and 10 steps in between there. This is the gap we are trying to fill. But for the sake of communication and a clean visual, you want to limit the amount of steps to major benchmarks only that you put in between to make the journey clear. Otherwise, the visual becomes convoluted and can actually work against your desire to illustrate the total journey. The simple graphic allows you to demonstrate the voyage, but also celebrate and progress monitor where you are at, remind people of the steps that they've already taken, and assess the energy being put towards the change. But more importantly, you demonstrate through a clear visual where it is we are going. When we tell people we are making a change and expect them to have faith in the journey, we allow for the critics and the victims in the change process to fill the stories in the heads of others and damage our ability to positively improve. We create gotcha moments for those we are hoping to change, and we fail. We fail because we miss the opportunity to support others by showing them the map to success. So many times, we miss the chance to create the simple cover page for others, and we create confusion by not cleanly showing everyone where it is that we are going. Now, go on to Google and search Gap Analysis Tool, and this is what you get. 329 million matches. That's not an error. This is a well-established tool that is designed to help you with problem solving, but can be tenfold as powerful when employed to illustrate what it is we are doing. So let me give you an example of how I employed this recently at home, because when there is a problem, there is a lack of a process. And in this case, I had a problem. My wife and I are very blessed, and we decided that it was time to purchase a third vehicle so that our son Charlie and his sister Grace could get themselves where they needed to go when we weren't around. I went out on the look for a vehicle that would be safe, inexpensive, and reliable. I found it, and I also found one that supported a few other criterion, one that could be maybe fun and get good gas mileage and make it hard to text while driving. So in all my wisdom, I decided that this provided us an opportunity to increase my son's driving skills, and I convinced everyone that we should get a car with a manual transmission, which is pretty hard to drive and text in. So we get the car, and I say to my son Charlie that we'll learn how to drive it, and it will be easy. Well, have you ever tried to teach someone you love how to drive a manual transmission vehicle? It is a true test of patience, and both parties, well, we both get it. The person learning bears the weight of disappointing you, the teacher, and trying to figure out the process, and the passenger, well, you're usually trying not to get whiplash as the car is violently shaking around before stalling. Anyway, we were doing well and then hit a bad streak of starting at stop signs and from a dead stop. So after nearly losing my mind, I fell back on continuous improvement principles, and I asked the person who I was forcing to change what I needed to do differently. He stated that he didn't think he could do it if I was teaching. Now, my ego was a little bruised, but again, I recognized the weight I was putting on him. So I then asked, how would you learn best? Remember, sometimes in the change process, the leader needs to remove themselves in order to ensure the success for others. So again, the current state was someone without confidence when driving a manual transmission vehicle, and the desired state is a confident driver with the skills to drive around by themselves. So the gap is the steps in between that we need to fill in order to find our success. These steps have to be illustrated so that the people impacted by the change can see the map and then build their confidence. So after a discussion with Charlie, we developed three steps to get to our desired stage. Step one, Dad is out of the process. Step two, we will find a video on YouTube. And step three is independent practice around the neighborhood until he feels comfortable enough to drive around solo. So the next day, after everyone reduced their blood pressure, Charlie watched a video on YouTube of a kid his age driving a stick shift vehicle. He built his confidence with his new knowledge, and then he pulled out of the driveway and drove around the neighborhood. After an hour of racing around the block, he came home with a grin on his face and stated he wasn't stalling as much anymore and felt more comfortable. And then he took his sister for a victory lap. A day later, I went for a ride, and I drove, showing him some shifting techniques, and again, removed myself from the situation, had him independently practice. Now it's been almost a month, and he's now a master. I tell this story because Charlie went from critic of himself to victim of his circumstances to let's see what happens to a navigator of his circumstances because we employed a tool. A gap analysis or step diagram is a simple tool and framework to get you thinking about how to change, provide a clear indicator for visualization of the change, and provide a map from which to measure your success. A problem only exists because there is no process, and when you are expecting change, you need to employ tools so that you can support the four behaviors of the people charged with changing. A leader is someone who has influence over others, and the greatest way to support and influence others is by employing visuals and tools when you are expecting them to act different. While it is not always going to make the expected change in behavior easier, it does allow for people to see the need and the journey and, as a result, get better for themselves and your organization. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you can employ a step diagram gap analysis tool to help illustrate the need for change. List current situations you are in and describe the desired state. Reflect on ways that you can better employ tools in order to support those you serve and love in the communication of change. That's it, Mark. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this episode on your social media platform and help me help others be better and greater leaders for others. Thank you to the Wellpennies, who, by the way, have a new album coming out in January, and I can't wait to preview some of their new music for you. But remember, please support them and all musicians by actually purchasing their music. Finally, thank you to my son, Charlie. Being a father is the greatest gift I've ever been given. Being given the responsibility of leading your own children can be very taxing on your skills and your patience. But when your dad is a buffalo and is not going to let you fail, it's not always easy, and when emotions finally clear, a process can be a real savior. In our house, we've employed a lot of improvement tools, and most of the time, no one even knows that it's happening. But each person in our lives has the ability to be a leader, and in the story I spoke of before, my son showed leadership by advocating for himself and reminding me that I can sometimes be the problem in my own efforts to help him succeed, which upon reflection is a great leadership skill that we each need to employ, and one that I hope you can have the courage to demonstrate for others this week as you employ new tools and determine whether or not you are part of the process or the problem. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Shake the world with
me.